by Hosanna Kunou. They are the gentlemen in can the gentleman just stand up? That's the delegation from I think it's Northwest, Royal Bafokeng. They are here just to learn about Parliament. What is it that is happening in Parliament? When we say that we have portfolio committee meetings, we are doing oversight over the entities, and they want to get experience of how this thing are being done. I'm sure that today we are going to be very soft with you, because we don't want them to leave here and think that Parliament very cruel collective. We then start by introducing ourselves, after which then Ms. Ngele, you'll introduce your team and also those from forestry and fisheries. And Sis Catherine, can I start with you? Introduction.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. I'm Catherine Mabuza, representing the African National Congress. Thank you.
Kosi Matere, Whip of the Water and Environmental Affairs, representing the ANC.
Kwane Zikalala, member of the Water and Environmental Affairs Portfolio Committee from the IFP.
Good morning, my name is Annette Lovemore. I represent the Democratic Alliance on the Water and Environmental Affairs Portfolio Committee.
Good morning. My name is Larry Bosman, representing the Democratic Alliance on the Department, the Committee of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries.
Good morning. I'm Pete Pretorius from the Democratic Alliance, also from the Committee on Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries.
Good morning. I'm Nkosi Thobekhulu, representing IFP in the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, officials. My name is Gareth Morgan on the Water and Environmental Affairs Committee for the Democratic Alliance.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Beauty Zulani from the African National Congress and the Committee Department and Environmental Affairs. Thank you. I'm Margaret Twala from the ANC, a whip of the Fellow Committee on Agriculture, Fisheries, and Forestry and Fisheries. Thank you.
Honorable Tyler, can we ask you to join here next to maybe Tikulan? Before I take the department, maybe we should also introduce ourselves, myself and my co-chair. My name is Mahoto Megi. A member of the African National Congress from a very beautiful province, the Free State province, where things are happening.
Morning, members, guests, and officials. My name is Lulu Johnson, proudly ANC member from Kamlana Street, and the chairperson on water, forestry, fisheries, agriculture.
I'll give to the department then to introduce themselves.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and the Royal Bafokeng delegation. I am Nobubele Ngele, the acting director general for the Department of Water Affairs. I am going to request the team to introduce themselves.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members and the visiting delegation from Royal Bafokeng. I'm Onesmus Masayaya, the Chief Financial Officer in the Department of Water Affairs.
Good morning, honorable members and the guests. My name is Tanika Mbasa, and I'm Deputy Director General responsible for the provinces in the Department of Water.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and guests. I am Shibu Rampedi, Deputy Director General responsible for forestry. Thank you.
Good morning, co-chairs, honorable members and guests. My name is Sizwe Mkhize. I'm responsible for policy and regulation in the Department of Water Affairs. Thanks.
Good morning, co-chairs, honorable members and guests. My name is Cornelius Reuters. I'm the Deputy Director General responsible for National Water Resources Infrastructure. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable members and the delegation. My name is Bubele Vagalisa. I'm the acting DDG Corporate Services.
My name, co-chairs, honorable members and guests. My name is Marva Scott. I'm the Head of Communications at Water Affairs.
Morning, co-chairs, members and guests. I'm Max Tivella, responsible for corporate planning in Water Affairs.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members and the delegates. My name is Moshito Mapanga. I'm responsible for internal audit to Water Affairs.
Thank you very much, Ratlafa, Hosana, Lou, for asking this.
Thank you, Chairperson. We are from the Royal Bafokeng, particularly we are proudly from the Platinum Province. I am A.B. Abisa Kuno, the headman at Bukeng, from Bukeng Nation. I'll ask the other members to introduce themselves. Thank you, Chairperson.
Bafokeng region. I come to land here. Thanks.
Dumelang ba gaetso, nna ke Isaac Ntsimane from Royal Bafokeng. Ke dumela fela go ithuta gore Parliament e sebetsa yang. Ke a leboga.
Nagi Petel Mutipi. I'm from Royal Bafokeng Nation, from Rustenburg. Thank you.
Morning, honorable members. All of us. I'm Shimane Ndromudisan from Royal Bafokeng, traditional councillor.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Chava Lakho from Royal Bafokeng. Thank you.
Dumela magaetso. Nna ke tlhaga gona kwa Rustenburg, Royal Bafokeng Nation. Ga ba bolela ba re ke rangwana kgosi. Tshwena ga ipone mariba ka segaetso. Ke mafiane. Predice mo nko.
Nna ke rona Shimane Manyaka.
Dumelang bagaetsho, nna ke Matlakala Segwe, ke tswa ke le ko Royal Bafokeng, ke tlile fa go ithuta, ke a leboga.
Dumelang bagaetsho, nna ke Jacob Setswane from Royal Bafokeng, ke tlile go tla ithuta mo Parliamenteng, ke a leboga.
Alright. Re leboa go temba lona ka hara rona le gore le tlhalotse gore le tlo go ithuta gore Parliament e sebetsa jwang na. Morero le sephetho sa kopano ena e re leng go yona ka jeko lena ke gore Parliament e tlo sekasekana le ditshebetso kapa go tshebedisano tsa ditšhelete ke lefapha. ha lefapha selemo ha nako ya selemo seo e qala mo lefapheng go na le tšhelete e itseng e fuwang lefapha gobaneng ba tlhalosa gore ba batla go etsa ditho tse itseng e tle re ha selemo seo se atametse go fela kapa ha se fedile lefapha le tlabe le ditswa ke palamente yaka re ba bitse ka jokana ba tlo re bontsha gore yaka bana ba kopile madi a gore ba batla go etsa 1, 2, 3 re bone gore a madi ao a sebeditswe sentle na e tle le gore ha sa sebeditswa sentle ke moo gere fitlhang re qabana teng le bone empa re a tshepa ka gobaneng selemong sena e ka re mosebetsi wa bona o betere gagolo go feta lemo tsa go feta gobaneng le motlhatlhi wa dibuka tsa naga o bontshitse gore chechche selemong sena e ka re ba ntse mosebetsi kgabane go feta dimo tse dingwe tsa go feta ke ka se o re leng ka sona today le bona gore ba tla re bolelela gore kabo ya ditšhelete re leng ra ba fa yona gore ba e sebedise ka tsela e jwanna so tla utlwa gore maloko a palamente ba tla refa ka mokgwa ba sebediseng ka teng and then maloko a palamente a tla qala ge a ba botsa dipotso mo ba utlwang gore ba sa kgotsofala teng ne ke re fela ke tsakitse ka tsela eo gobane le qala go tla le batla le go tseba gore go etsagala e nna I was just trying to explain the process to the Royal Bafokeng delegation because they are here to learn about Parliament, how Parliament functions. So I was just trying to explain to them what is it that we are doing today here. What is the reason for the Parliament to be here and us as Parliament, what is the responsibility of the Portfolio Committee over the Department? That's what, in nutshell, that's what I was trying to explain to them. Without wasting any time, then I will give to my co-chair, Honorable Johnson, to lead the process. For me, I'm not feeling well today. I'm afraid I might not even go to Washington. I must look after my health. Honorable Johnson.
Chair, can I really register my displeasure? That one has been walking up and down trying to find this meeting. We're already outside, and then I can show you the message that says, Mrs. Ndude, you are reminded the meeting of the Portfolio Committee at S26. So one has to move from here and walk all the way down there. Here is the message here. Really, I just want to reach that. It's a pleasure, really. Walking from here and going to S26 all the way, and you have to walk back here.
Can I just hear from other members? Did you get S26? S26, because we got 454, and then later we received SMSs which say 475. I can't remember S26. So, Ms. Ndude, you are the only one who received S26.
I want to know that.
It's not from us, Mildred. Yeah, I think it's from you, but it's not from us. It's not from us. Once it reads Pamela. I'm sorry about that, Honorable Member. I'll give to you, Mr. Johnson.
Can we switch off? Thank you, Court Chairperson. We have an annual report, vote 34 on water and forestry in the current until end of the month when the medium-term budget policy review is going to be tabled, which will then take us through with the new realignment that will then be talking about the current situation as it exists in departments, which water would then be water and environment. I'm suggesting that we're not going to be having such joint sessions insofar as both are concerned, because we would have been part of this vote. However, working together, obviously, will still continue. As the Honorable Chair would have said, Parliament has that right of calling any department, as long as that work is relevant to that specific committee at any given point in time. So even if we will not be having any relationship insofar as both are concerned, we still do have that right. A case in point here is the land bank, which according to the proclamation is accounting to the finance department. But we continue inviting them. Just cite but one example. Without really having to belabor on any issue in that direction, and also wasting of any time, because we also start a bit late, we shall call upon the acting DG, Ms. Ngele, to lead us in this process. I see also in your report you have a very long program for the day. You probably are going to be having 10, 20, 30, 60, almost 2 hours, not even 2 hours, as it were, close to that, for presentation. Yeah, that is obviously going to be a challenge, a big one. We might wish to see how best to become innovative in really getting to, because also on the finance, I see here you have one part report, and later on finance also comes in on another part. I'm not sure whether that has got anything to do with performance work, but in any event, you will give us the details. And that's also outlined to us as to how the structure is going to be like for the benefit of other members who probably do not have such outline. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the opportunity to interact with the Portfolio Committee on our annual report. Chairperson, our presentations are informed by the correspondence we received from the Office of the Chairperson regarding the areas that we have to work through with the Portfolio Committee. Let me just explain, there's a part that talks to financial performance, and that's where the issues revolve around the CFO. And then the CFO also is the DDG responsible for the branch. So the second part will be talking to the branch, but we are open to your guidance in terms of whether I would want the CFO to talk on the finances, the broader finances of the department, and at the same time just zoom in to his brand. So we are open for your guidance and making sure that we do the presentation in the best way, and also to ensure that we have sufficient time to interrogate our presentations. I will be giving the Portfolio Committee the overview of the annual report. And the DDGs and the CFO will have to favor you with the detailed account of the financial performance of the organization. DDGs will have to favor you with the detailed account of the performance of their branches and also the impact of the highlights that I will be indicating in my overview report. So the presentation will be the overview, the highlights, the challenges, and the options available to deal with the challenges. The CFO will take you through the overview of the financial performance, and the DDGs of the different branches will have to take you through the performance of their branches and give a detailed account of that. Are you comfortable with that, Chair? Thank you very much, Chair. In terms of the highlights for the year 2008-2009, the presentation has been configured around the programs of the department. We've got four programs: water resource management, water services, forestry, and administration. Corporate services and finance form part of the administration, and the DG's office form part of the administration program. With regard to the highlights, water resource management, construction of new infrastructure to increase capacity for water security,
three major water resources infrastructure commissions. I will be expecting the DDG consent to give a detailed account of the areas and the provinces where those water resource infrastructure were commissioned. 29 dams rehabilitated and refurbished. Cabinet approval of water for growth and development framework. Chairperson, I also want to acknowledge that the last time we were here, there were issues raised by this committee around water for growth, and we are working on those issues and will be coming back to give an action plan of how do we want to translate that framework into implementable action. One also acknowledges the fact that the water for growth does not signal a new beginning. We are saying through this framework that we want to intensify the good things that we've done over time, and we want to review the areas that were not working well and come up with interventions of how to consolidate the good efforts and make sure that we deliver. In terms of water services, during the year in question, we strengthened our enforcement component. We launched the Blitz Week, Enforcement Week, where we issued directives to people that were involved in illegal abstractions. We had the minister going around also doing some campaigns, creating awareness around illegal abstraction and its implications to the nation. The regional support to local government in drinking water quality, blue and green drop certification program initiated, and the report will be coming in due course regarding this area. A forestry sector charter was finalized and signed by the minister, and the DDG consent will give us a detailed account on how is that going to impact on the lives of the people. The Million Tree Program planted 1.850 million trees, and she will also talk on that one, what is the impact of that to the nation. The administration, which is finance, the DG's office, and corporate services, we have a register for both movable and immovable assets. As you are aware, Chairperson, particularly the immovable assets of water affairs, they run into billions. So it is important for the organization to have that. It's a starting point of your asset management, which has been over time part of the audit, our audit report. Debtors book cleaned, launch of the women's organization. We launched the women's organization last year to mobilize people and create a formal platform for women to be able to get empowerment opportunities within the water sector. The transformation journey, we implemented the change journey, which really aims to turn around the culture of the organization, the performance issues around the different human resources landscape, and also to deal with systems and process alignment issues. Graduate training program, we have a learning academy in place that aims to build capacity at three levels. The first level is the bursary scheme. We offer bursaries to graduate students to complete their studies. We also have another pillar, which is a learner intern program, where students who are doing diploma and require experiential learning in order to qualify for their qualifications, we give them an opportunity to do experiential training for 1 year. We also have the training program where young graduates are taken to an on-job and aligned training by seasoned engineers, and they are placed within components of GLAF. Key challenges, Chairperson. Inadequate investment and funding around water resource infrastructure. Currently, Chairperson, I am happy to report that the department has decided to establish a committee that is going to re-examine the funding and implementation model of infrastructure. There are issues in the space around whether we are using TCTA that we have. Is it the right model for funding of this this infrastructure, or do we have to have another model, a business model, to do that? So we've got National Treasury, the Department of Trade and Industry on board to TCTA to interrogate and come up with a position that will be in the best interest of the country. Water conservation and water demand management. Chairperson, if you still remember when we presented the Water for Growth and Development, we really highlighted to you the importance of water conservation as the cheapest way of making sure that you contribute towards the water security. However, it is also difficult because you have to deal with behavior of people. And also the status of the transferred infrastructure to municipalities, and this has been also a problem. We have transferred the infrastructure to municipalities, but we are not convinced as Water Affairs that the state of that infrastructure is in the right level. There are issues of population growth, there are issues of economic development, and we are not convinced that what we have transferred will accommodate all those challenges. Funding for refurbishment of Category B and C plantation, funding for forestry enterprise development within the context of the BE, this area becomes very important. Next slide. Regulation, compliance and enforcement. I'm happy to report, Chairperson, that we have decided to consolidate the regulation function. It's been fragmented in the department, reporting to different people, and we sort of thought the starting point is to consolidate the function under one chief director, and then we are going to get into a purification process of the function, interrogate what do we believe is the regulation function, and other functions that don't necessarily belong to regulation will have to be moved to other components. Enforcement of raw and drinking water quality, we're also intending to employ more people, enforcement officers, to ensure that the quality of our water meets the required standard. Monitoring compliance to standards, internal capacity to monitor. Currently, we don't have the capacity, and we are aiming to ensure that by the end of this year, we have capacity within the monitoring component. Reducing forest fires. Support to local government, balancing the support to municipalities whilst executing the regulatory obligation, delays in finalizing transfers of infrastructure to municipalities. Secondly, also we are currently participating in a committee that has been established by the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and that committee is looking at the development of the turnaround strategy for local government, and will form part and parcel of the summit that will be addressed by the President around the turnaround strategy of local government. All these issues will be located within that turnaround strategy. Skill shortage. Chairperson, I'm aware that you've raised issues around skill shortage in this room. The fact that you're not doing enough, we've used this in the past as an excuse for non-delivery, and I can assure you we are moving towards getting tangible results around skill shortage and measures in place to make sure that we deliver on this one. Transformation of the sector, implementation of water allocation reform. Chairperson, this is a challenge. I can report to you that the minister has decided to establish a task team consisting of special advisors to look at the measurable actions that need to be implemented around water allocation reform. She has highlighted to the department that this is a key priority for the department to deliver on. Land reform and full settlement support to communities. We are currently working with the Department of Rural Development to ensure that there's an integrated approach around your water allocation reform and land reform. Financial viability of water management institutions. Chairperson, I can also report here that the minister has already set up a task team to look at the viability of all water management institutions. The task team is working around the clock to report to the minister, and the task team will be coming up with interventions and proposals on how to realign and accelerate delivery within the institution. Alignment of systems and processes. This is an internal issue, Chairperson. It is important to ensure that we have a good foundation for delivery internally in the department, and there's a need for the organization to align systems and processes, and this is an ongoing assignment. The options for delivery. Implementing the Water for Growth and Development Framework. Chairperson, again, I need to emphasize here, this is not a new thing. You've raised the issue last time that, you know, we're presenting this as if we've not been working, we've not been doing anything in the department, and why are we bringing it here as if it's a new thing? We agree with you, we acknowledge that we've done some work around water for growth and development. As of the work we're doing is around water for growth and development. However, we do acknowledge that there's a need to consolidate the good things that we've been doing. There's a need to repackage the way we've done our work. There's a need also to place the water agenda within the broader government strategic objectives. We are going to be working with other departments and other stakeholders to come up with an implementation plan indicating what are the issues that we'll be focusing on going forward and what do we want to invest around this framework. Review current funding model for infrastructure. Chairperson, I've already spoken on this one. The task team will start to work before the end of the year and we will come and report to this committee around the progress. Participate in the current discussion held by Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Chairperson, I've already indicated to you that we are working, we are part and parcel of the task team that is working with Cooperative Affairs to make sure that you know, local government support is integrated and aims to address the issues that are burning on the ground. The Learning Academy, Chairperson, this is also an intervention aimed to build capacity, and this, Chairperson, links to the issue of the over-reliance on consultants in the department. Unless we show, we demonstrate courage in terms of building capacity, the issue of over-reliance on consultants will not go away. And we're saying this intervention has to be leveraged and intensified by the department to make sure that we move away from over-reliance on consultants. Occupational specific dispensation, this one, Chairperson, you will be aware that this affects the entire public service. It's about creating a special dispensation for professionals, that is your engineers and scientists. And we are part and parcel of that group, and we will be implementing the OSDP in line with the collective agreement agreed in the bargaining council. Continue and accelerate institutional realignment project. Chairperson, we undertook a institutional realignment project last year. The minister has considered the recommendations from the task team and has decided that we should have a roadmap that indicates where do we want to go and what is the ultimate goal of this realignment. It really aims to ensure that we optimize the strength and the capacity available within the sector. Because there are, you do have water boards that are doing very well, that have got good capacity, and how do we as DWAF, as a sector leader, leverage the strength of those water boards to assist with the problems facing the country around water. Alignment of water, land reform, rural development programs, I've spoken on this one, Chairperson. It is incumbent on DWAF to work with other departments to ensure that this integrated approach. We'll have to make a concerted effort and take proactive actions to get ourselves visible within the other programs of government. Invest in systems, capacity building for management, leadership, and talent management. Here, Chairperson, what you are saying, it will be challenging to turn around an organization if you don't have sufficient management capability and leadership capability. That is very important. And we're saying the starting point is to make sure that your senior managers in government are clear of their responsibilities and they carry out their responsibilities in order to ensure your non-SNS members are able to deliver on what has been promised. So building leadership and management is going to be our focus also going forward. Alignment of business planning processes with performance management. We are also in the process, Chairperson, of making sure that our strategic plan, our budget planning, and our business planning are aligned to ensure that at the end of the day, there's ownership and the level of accountability that is required by this House. Response plan to issues raised by the Auditor General. Chairperson, as you are aware, we have a clean audit report. However, there are indications from the Auditor General that if we do not attend to the issues they've raised in the report, we will bounce back to the negative point. So we are working around the clock to make sure that there's an action plan to deal with those issues identified by the Auditor General to make sure that when they come the next round, they won't find those problems again in the organization. Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I will hand over to the CFO to present the financial performance of the department and also to talk to his own branch around the performance issues, the non-financial issues. With your permission.
Thanks. Yes. So we will go ahead with at least two other presentations and perhaps a break for Q&A. Otherwise, it might be a bit too difficult to track on all the presentations as they are going to be a bit longer. Okay, we'll take the financial report.
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. my presentation, of course, is an overview of the financial outcome that we have had for the 2008 and 9, and is guided by the obviously the correspondence we received from you. If I've not covered everything, obviously we'll engage during the Q&A session. I'll look at the overview of the expenditure trends, especially with respect to the voted funds. And, of course, I will extend that to give the honorable members a chance the reason, to understand the reason for why there is an apparent underspending, as shown in the annual report. Now, when I say that there will be expenditure and then the underspending question, that one applies for those of you who do not know the Department of Water Affairs well. We have two major components within the department, and when you look at the report, we have what you call the water trading entity, and we have the main account. And the main account, that's where we account for the funds that come from the National Revenue Fund, that's the fiscus, which are voted for by the Parliament. Now, for the water trading entity, this is the revenues that we collect and we spend for the benefit of managing the infrastructure, the water infrastructure in the country that supplies us with bulk water. Now, then I'll proceed to look at donor funding. Donor funding forms a component of our funding, in our resources that we use and which we use for the year under review. I'll reflect on that because it's covered as part of the statement of financial performance in the annual financial statements of the department. I will then share with you the previous audit outcome because I feel strongly that we will need to have an appreciation of the journey we have walked the last 5 years. I think that's what I'll be sharing with the honorable members. And then I will highlight the accounting officer has indicated that there are certain things, obviously, which may not have impacted on the audit opinion in this current financial year. But if they are not attended to, and we allow them to continue in the way they have been in the previous years, they may end up taking us back where we have come from in the last 5 years. Then, obviously, I will highlight something about the role of the audit committee. We have an audit committee that meets at least 4 times in a year, and what they do for us in the department as required by the PFMA. With that outline in mind, in brief, we are now accounting into Parliament. Our voted funds normally are spent through 4 programs for the year under review. They were spent under 4 programs as shown in the second column there, the first and second column. We have program 1, 2, 3, and 4, which were allocated that particular money. For the total for the year, we had plus minus 7 billion. And we spend 6.5 of that, which translates to 92-93% expenditure. Of course, other than water resource management, then that's where infrastructure development is, most of the other programs spend more or less 100% of the allocations. And therefore, the difference in terms of the underspending that you see there would be mainly be attributed to the, the delayed disbursement, I would not say under expenditure, I would say delayed disbursement to the suppliers and other service providers of the money that was allocated to the major infrastructure development work that we are doing for the country. In terms of economic classification, when you come to, I've talked about programs. What you saw earlier on slide number 3 was about programs. That particular budget is split in terms of the recurrent payments, meaning that these are the consumable things that you not see again. Once you have used the money, you have used it, you can, apart from when you show the impact thereof. We spend 100% of the current payments we allocated. Transfers and subsidies, which I will clarify what they are later on, We spend 86% of that, and that relates mainly to the money meant to build the infrastructure for the water, the bulk water supply. Now, in comparison with the previous financial year, which was audited, 2007 and 2008, if we compare to the 2008 and 2009, in overall, in terms of spending, we showed some slight improvement. If we talk of in overall overall expenditure percentage, the extent to which we spend the allocation that we had, but the budget allocation obviously had increased between the 2 years. The other, in 2007 and 2008, we had 5.8. But in 2008 and 2009, we had a budget allocation of 7 billion. But when you look at the percentage of the usage, utilization of that budget, honorable members, you realize that we had slightly improved by almost 1%. And again, that and expenditure in both years being attributed to the challenges that are attributable to the infrastructure development allocations when we do the implementation of the infrastructure development. On recurrent payment, that's the same story. We more or less, on recurrent expenditure, we spend, on recurrent expenditure, we spend whatever we had, and we showed improvement in the current year. Trust fund subsidies that we give to other entities in government, we again showed improvement in terms of our expenditure. But capital assets, which are capital assets used by the department, again, we are more or less in the same. We spend 99% as in the previous financial year. Now, a key highlight, the accounting officer having indicated that there have been concerns about the usage of the PSPs in the department. I would like to say something about this. At least we need to be in a position to give a story behind the picture you are seeing in the financial figures. One thing, when we do a request to the department, to the National Treasury, during what we call the MTF process, we make a bid saying that we request money for this particular policy option or this particular project. Now, when it's done at that stage, it's not clear whether you will have 100 million out of the 500 you have asked or you'll have the entire 500. Now, but when you are then advised, let's say, normally we get the letter of allocations in November, it was the end of November, you start now planning based on what has been availed to you. Now, the tendency is, and historically so, the tendency has been that funds then, in order to start working on the projects that would have then have been approved, will tend to start work using the consultants and outsourcing some of the functions which fit under the contractors, which fit under infrastructure planning, and which fit under business and advisory services. It is for that reason that you'll notice that agency support and outsourced services showed an increase in terms of expenditure, showed an increase of 57%, 58 almost. And if you come to business and advisory services, reflect an increase of 33%. Now, agency and support, stroke outsourced services, this is under working for water and working for fire, where we do, when we had some allocation during the media adjustment in October last year, and when that money came in, the expenditure and the disbursement was through those particular agencies, and it would therefore form under the broader classification of consultants and contractors. When it comes to a major grant we are in charge of, which is regional bulk, the feasibility studies are required to be undertaken before the actual implementation takes place. In which case, we require we outsource that function because it's a temporal kind of a short-term assignment where we need feasibility documents and planning documents to enable us to do the actual implementation. So in which case, again, in that case, we rely on the outside service providers to fast-track that particular process. Now, what you have on slide number 8 is the reason for the increase in overall on consultants and contractors, and that's what I've already said. Working for water and working for fire had some allocation during the media adjustment. And obviously that money, the execution of the project concern occurred through other agencies. It was not executed by in-house staff. The same thing with the regional bulk and sanitation, whereby during the planning and the certain aspects of execution, we would then rely on outsourced model. Now, there are measures obviously in place because we are not pleased with the situation, especially where we are already have stabilized and we know this is our core function and we'll continue working with it. We have embarked on aggressive arrangements for filling the vacancies position, vacancies that exist in approved structure. And each time we do the PSP appointment, we link that PSP appointment to the development of at least two persons that work with them. And of course, the limitation on possible variation orders, meaning varying the contracts that have been issued to any of the existing PSPs, and the targeted internship and graduate programs that the accounting officer has alluded to already. Now, when we talk about current payments, which I've referred to, we are referring to payroll, compensation of employees, goods and services, the goods and services here being the equipment we use in the office, and of course the consultants and outsourced services, IT services that I've talked about. Then we have interest that we pay. If we have money that has been outstanding, which we have not, repaid in good time and we are charged interest, we'll pay it under the current component. And then there are financial transactions on assets. These will involve, obviously, the collection of the money, like where we sell timber products. We would then, or where we deal in such a transaction, we'll then reflect them under financial transaction, which form part of the recurrent payments, as opposed to capital payments that lead to acquisition of tangible assets that we use for more than 1 year. Now, I've also referred to our expenditure in terms of economic categorization, which we refer to transfers and subsidies. These are mainly money we handle. It's allocated as part of the 7 billion. But this money is not used on us. Instead, we transfer, let's say, to municipalities. We transfer to other departmental agencies and accounts. We transfer to other public corporations or foreign governments where we have bilateral agreements and we have been allowed to do such a dealings, and other households where we have, which have to benefit without the department benefiting directly from them. So we refer to those ones as transfer payments or subsidies, as the case may be. Now, for instance, when you talk about catchment agencies and the development of infrastructure, the revenue we generate on the water trading entity as a result of charging water users for abstraction of water from the bulk water infrastructure resources is not enough to build new infrastructure, and in which case the funds that are voted for by Parliament are then transferred to the water trading entity for the development of the bulk water infrastructure and in certain cases the maintenance of such infrastructure. Payment for capital goods, of course, is what they are. This is the equipment, buildings, improvements we do on our buildings for the benefit of our ongoing operations. For us to be comfortable, there could be replacement of doors, doing cabling on the building we have leased in order to have a smooth operation. Those are what we spend on money under payment for capital assets. Now, the reason for the underspending that I've alluded to under Program 2, which is water resource management. That is the only program that had significant under expenditure of about 505 million was because of our Olifant River Water Resource Development Project in Limpopo. Now, disbursement of these funds in respect of this project could not proceed as anticipated, mainly as a result of the delay in the conclusion of the negotiation to finalize the memorandum of agreement with the 23 different mines. How do the different mines come in? When we start a project of that nature, it becomes important that we know who the key abstractors of water are. And in that case, this was being done mainly for the benefit of the 23 different mining houses, and secondly to the social company because there are communities living around that. Now, when the memorandum is not concluded, we are therefore unable to proceed at the speed at which we would have liked to. In light of the recession, which you all know, and we have spoken about it, you have heard about it, you have read about it in the press, and it continues to be a debate, a number of these mining, because the commodity prices were affected, were kind of slow in concluding the discussions around this matter, and therefore we could not disperse this particular money as we had thought that it will be dispersed. On the question of donor funds, I've done now with the voted funds chair. I'm now with another stream of income that we get is from the international donors. And it's reported as part of the statement of financial performance under vote 34. Now, for the year under review, donor funds were received to implement community water supply and sanitation through the, what we call, with this term you'll hear it from time to time, Masibabane 3 program, which is a continuation of Masibabane 2 that ended the year before. The funds mainly are used broadly. They are used for those particular activities, one of them obviously being financial improvement in the regions, which we deployed the different individuals to help us with that, local government capacity building and knowledge sharing, and of course the support to the implementation of water and sanitation infrastructure. This money is never used to acquire capital assets. It's mainly for the support that we have talked about, so we don't buy equipment or we don't start building a new dam or a new pipeline using this particular money. That's not what it's meant for. There are obviously conditions that are attached to that, and I have to elaborate that because normally when Parliament votes for the other money that I've already discussed, which is allocated under Program 1 to 4, as I've indicated, you will attach certain conditions, the expenditure of that money as guided by National Treasury. This one, the condition of expenditure, is contained in the bilateral agreement signed between the donors and the South African government. So in brief, we received cash for the year under review. We received, the revenue we received was 445, but when we opened the year, we had a deficit of 278. The 278, you may want to know, where did we get the 278 we spent, yet we had not received the money. The way it happens is that due to the delay, let's say, in the implementation of the hoop dam that I've alluded to, we will not delay the implementation of the donor-funded project and when we have this other money still with us. So we will use the cash that we'll be having, like when there was a delay on the signing of the memorandum, we allowed that we use this waiting for the amount to come in from the donors. Now, that one is done in consultation under the guidelines given by National Treasury on the management of the donor money. So in brief, that's the money that we received, but also we received some other revenue in form of in-kind, and which was used as spelled out in the previous slide. Now, the operating subsidies that I've referred to, there were certain achievements and certain, of course, challenges. The allocated budget was obviously transferred as required, because this money meant for another sphere of government or meant for another agency. Under the operating subsidy, because this is a subsidy that is meant to support the transfer of the water services assets to municipalities, and there are DORA allocation subsidies, there was no under-expenditure on the Schedule 7 allocation under that DORA, and all municipalities had approved their reports and addendum, the necessary agreements were in place, and we managed to transfer staff to the municipalities where these particular agreements were approved. The challenge is that there are certain few municipalities that have not taken on staff. This is being finalized this year, and they were not finalized as of last year. We still have to finalize two transfer agreements under the operating subsidy, and then we have, of course, the allocated budget doesn't seem to be adequate given the condition of the asset that we are trying to transfer, because part of that subsidy is to cover the maintenance and refurbishment of those particular assets that we are transferring to the local government sphere. Some of the municipalities are not reporting on the funds transferred to them, or they delay to report on those particular funds that are given to them. And that's a challenge, of course, given the nature of the reporting systems that are there. We battle to get over that, but it's something that we are trying to address with the help of National Treasury. Another area of transfer or subsidy is the area, some of you may have heard COBWA. COBWA stands for Komati Basin Water Authority. Komati Basin Water Authority. And my apologies to have used abbreviation without having given the full name. COBWA is a creation of an international treaty, honorable members. And its key asset is Maguga Dam, situated in Swaziland. The offices are in Swaziland. And the other key asset is dry copies in the Komati Basin. Now, when that treaty was undertaken to develop the water infrastructure in that part of the world, the settlement sharing agreements were in place. And look at it as a joint venture. We don't own 100% of Kobwa. We are represented 50% by South Africa, and 50% of the board members are from Swaziland. The amounts that were used to develop those particular two major assets that I've alluded to, that is Maguga Dam situated in Swaziland and dry copies situated in Komati Basin, was borrowed money. It was not money from the National Revenue Fund. So under that agreement, we are responsible for 100% of indebtedness incurred to build the dry copies dam. And we are responsible for 60% of the loan raised to build Maguga Dam. What we gain out of that? What we gain out of that is the water that is then used by farmers in the Limpopo province. That's what we gain, because it's sharing of that particular output that was key to the agreement that was entered into between the South Africa and the Swaziland government. Now, the 180 million therefore transferred, and you see this on an ongoing basis, and of course this is an area you may want to exercise your oversight, because we cannot talk of water security for South Africa without referring to this particular source. And the fact that we are transferring 180 million, maybe it will grow up with the time, it is something significant that we cannot fail to talk about. Now, so, in short, that 180 million covers the indebtedness we are responsible for, the installment, and the administrative costs that are then incurred by the management of the Komati Basin Water Authority. But the other aspects of the challenges are the ones that you have on the slide, which are indicated there, but that's what that particular money is used for. I now turn to the question of the previous audit outcome and the split between the two, Chair. On the main exchequer account, which is voted funds that were voted by Parliament through your appropriation bill, and then I will proceed to the water trading entity where we handle the revenue we collect from the water users. Now, I'll be losing you if I do not say something about the history behind the status we find ourselves in as of the end of that first March 2009. The history of the audit outcome by AG is such that in 2005 and 2006, the department was handed a qualified audit, and the reason for that, the asset management were in shambles. The completeness, accuracy, validity in terms of additions and etc. could not be verified by the auditors. In 2007, once again, there was a qualification, and again, assets read the were key in that particular case, and they could not be subjugated, and there was no adequate asset register in that particular time. 2007 and 8, there was a qualified audit opinion once more again, and the tangible capital assets, there was no assurance that then that could be obtained by the auditors for the completeness and existence and valuation of those particular assets. Now, that is when, in 2007, by the way, once that audit opinion was handed, we then started on some projects, and given the magnitude of the assets that the department is in charge of, the fruits of those efforts took time to be seen. For the water trading entity, the previous audit outcome in 2005 and 2006 was a disclaimer, meaning that the auditor could not even express an opinion on the finances. For 2006 or 2007, it was a qualified audit opinion, and it was mainly assets, meaning that we had shown some form of improvement in the sense that business process was there. We could apply our general accepted accounting standards, and the auditors could actually trace some of the amounts we had reported and etc. But assets were still a problem given their size and magnitude, and even the auditors themselves acknowledged that particular one in their audit opinion. The 2007 and 8, there was a qualified audit opinion, but it was to do with the debtor balances. Assets were no longer an issue on the water trading entity. We had managed to overcome that problem. Now, and debtors indeed remain a challenge, and that's the area of focus even going forward, where systems need to improve in order to ensure that we collect all that is due to us. In the current financial year, which is under review, which forms the basis of the annual report that is before you, Chair, is to say that we have made improvements under those circumstances. We acknowledge that with that history is a history that we cannot accept, and it cannot continue being part of our operations. So we took a move through targeted initiatives in order to come up with what you have before you, whereby the main account, we have unqualified audit opinion, and the water trading entity, we have also unqualified audit opinion. But against that background, we have certain things that the auditors have said and which we have alluded to, that if we do not attend to them, they can take us back. And these are things that I was mentioning to the honorable members to take note of, that after we submitted the financial statements for audit on 29th of May, which is a statutory date for submission, we had to do some adjustments. Now, those adjustments were not necessarily occasioned by the department. They were occasioned by the chart of accounts that is prescribed for us, whereby some of the amounts we handle, like the regional bulk money, which we handle as capital assets, but they are not assets because these are assets that belong to another sphere of government. They give us problems, and we needed permission to clear that out. So we had to wait for the permission for us to clear that, and that's why there were material adjustments after the 29th of May. The internal audit function, of course, in terms of its plan, it did not fulfill the responsibilities 100% in that particular year. There are obviously deficiencies that were picked up at a number of our sites in terms of the design and implementation of the internal controls in certain instances. It was not an overlap, but there were certain sites, since we operate in 9 regions and a number of operational clusters, there were a number of deficiencies. There was no separate strategic plan document which concerned the water trading entity. The plan we have for the department is a plan is where we also have the water trading entity plan, and that's something that the Auditor General had a problem with, but we understood the circumstances under which we were operating given our history. Of course, there were issues around unallocated receipts from customers. There are water users that are paying us money, but we have not been able to allocate those particular receipts to particular debtors. Those were things that were highlighted and which we need to go through. And then, of course, obviously, the restatements of prior figures that are comparatives in the in the annual report was also a highlight that, of course, the AG felt that he should mention it in the process of giving his opinion. So for the water trading entity, what is the financial, only for the main account, in terms of the statement of financial performance, we are saying that the amount we were to handle, including money we collected from the forestry side of things, we handled 7.5, and including donor money, 7.5 million, which is an increase of 26%. The expenditure increased by 21%, and we had a surplus of 613. 613 includes both the voted funds and donor money that was not utilized for the year under review. Of course, the increase in the revenue is mainly as a result of the rollover money that came in from the previous financial year, and also the money we got from the sale of forestry products and the self-financing money that we get from that particular industry known as forestry of 46 million, which was availed to us. And then the financial aid assistance from the donors, as I've alluded to earlier. That's how you should understand the increase in the revenue. On the expenditure side of things, obviously the COE increased, but it increased less than the inflation, and the reason for that is because of the transfer of some of the staff to municipalities. So you'll not see it growing up at the rate of inflation or at a higher rate than that. Transfer funds in the regional bank infrastructure was another area, obviously, where we handled money, and the goods and services, of course, increased in operational expenditure due to payment contractors, which I've alluded to already. The deficit you see in the statement of financial performance is contributed to by the DHUP money that I've talked about, the 505 million, and obviously the revenue collected, and which was surrendered to the National Revenue Fund of 72 million, And of course, I'd spend money from the financial assistance of that 6 million. I think that one will jump it. Can we skip that? The assets of the department have been generally accounted for properly, and the auditors were happy with whatever we did with that. The decrease in the receivables, for example, compared to the previous financial year, was obviously as a result of the collection of those debtors. And some of those debtors, by the way, if you see loans on the financial statements of the main account, that is to do with the loans that were given some time back to irrigation boards, who are then currently referred to as water utilization. So we do collect those particular loans from time to time. And let's go to the next slide. Next slide. Next. The cash flow position of the department, as we are saying, is that we spend within the budget we had. If anything, we underspend, and that is the position we are in the current year, in terms of the net cash flow from the operating activities under different categories. Now, the net cash flow, a value from operating activities, of course, decreased. And of course, this was as a result of an increase in the outflow of the current payments, transfers, and subsidies for the year under review. The decrease in the cash flow from the investing activities, obviously, is due to the acquisition of new capital items, which we didn't do much. We didn't acquire more capital items for the year under review. For the water trading entity, the revenue increased by modest of 4%, and that's mainly to do with an increase in the tariff. There was nothing else. The other income that declined is because we have other income under construction, and that particular income did not come in as it was in the previous financial year. It depends on the third-party contracts we have in any given year. The deficit, obviously, it increased, and this is because of the depreciation we provided for on the enhanced asset base that we have, and that's why the deficit increased by 3.2. But besides that, there are inefficiencies in the pricing strategy that do not necessarily cover, because of the capping provision, the pricing strategy, we do not cover most of our expenditure under this particular water trading entity. And it's a matter that we are trying to address through the relevant channels. Next slide. I think I've explained about the increase in the revenue. And I've also explained about the other income. I think let's go to the next slide. In terms of taking out the effect of the depreciation, the ratio of expenses compared to the total income, you'll notice that is 1.04, which is 104% as a ratio of the total income earned and consumed in the operations. And that's if we exclude the depreciation. And that gives you an indication that there's something wrong with our pricing strategy. We are not covering entirely our costs in this case. You'll notice that in 2008 and 2007, that ratio has improved due to some of the efficiencies that we had improved, and also a case whereby some of the expenses had been well managed for the year under review. Now, of course, trade debtors is an area where you will notice that there was an increase of 41%, and this is because after we were handed the audit opinion 2007 and 2008, we decided that we are going to clean our data book before we do the collection. And that's why those data build up in the way they are built up by 41%. So we are now left with the challenge, after having cleared, to speed up the collection of those particular data. Under the trade payables and other payables, I would like you to note that included there is the amount of liabilities that are owed to the TCTA. We collect revenue, and that revenue must be remitted to TCTA. Now, by the end of the financial year, we hadn't collected that money because of the data cleanup that we are doing, so that money was sitting as part of our trade debtors and payables. So as we collect it, we expect that the trade and other payables should therefore diminish as a result of that. Okay, next slide. I think I've spoken to that. I've spoken on that one. The cash flow position, you will notice that when you look at cash flow, if you look at the statement of cash flow, the cash flow from the operations is positive for the 2 years. But the cash flow from investment activities is negative. Now, so therefore you end up with a position whereby the net cash flow for the year is also negative, which means that whatever we get from the operational side of things is less than what we require to do the investment into the tangible assets. And that's where the documentation from the fiscal becomes important, and that's where the revision of the pricing strategy or the pricing policy we use becomes important. So the cash flow position of the WT obviously decreased by 48 on a year-on-year as a result of the decrease in the profitability resulting from deficiency in the pricing strategy and also the delays in the collection of the receivables, but besides that also the increase in the decrease in the payables. The audit committee for the year under review comprised of a number of members, and the chairperson was J.A. Boyd, who resigned as the chairperson on the 12th of November. That position was taken over by S. Thomas. These are independent, these are not employees of the department. They come in just for purposes of interacting with us as part of the oversight internally and to support the work that being done by internal audit and the office of the CFO. We then have Mr. Mota, who joined us during the year, and Mr. Kabin Zondo, who were also appointed to the audit committee in October 2008. That committee met as required, and they did their function, the best of my knowledge. They did their role as required in their charter. The internal controls, once the members of the audit committee believe that the system of internal controls largely covers organizational and financial operating risk, there are, of course, control weaknesses are periodically reviewed during the internal and external audit process, and therefore the committee monitors those particular reports. The risk management, we have a risk management unit that was established for the year, during the year under review, and we have now appointed a director for that. We never had it before, so we have already developed that strategy, and the strategy will then be implemented going forward by that particular manager that has been appointed. Internal audit, of course, continued to do its work, but as indicated by AG, they did not fulfill whatever they planned for the year in 100% due to shortage of staff and other reasons that led them not to execute. But the audit function is there. It's headed by Chief Director, who has accompanied this delegation to this meeting today. Thank you.
We'll quickly run to... Maybe at this point in time, let us engage on just the figures, and hopefully that we're not going to be taking time because we still have another hour to deal with the report itself. Are we able to take any discussion on the figures themselves and the overview, or do you want us to take through the whole report? Are you going to be making notes, Mama Buza?
I would like to ask to deal with the two presentations so that we go away with them and we concentrate on the other coming presentations.
We deal with these two now. That's what I'm calling for. Any taker?
Yes, Chairperson. Can I?
Yeah, you noted Mama Tulane, noted Mrs. Lovemore.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the quality, water quality in rivers and dams. In the last presentation, when the regions were presenting, I raised the issue of water quality in Limpopo River. And the blame was shifted to Zimbabwe, that the problem is with Zimbabwe. And here in the report, they are also saying the mining industry, the acid mine drainage is high, there are poor municipality infrastructure. I just want to find out from the department to say, what are you doing as the national department in making sure that the rivers, there's no pollution in the rivers?
The second question, Chairperson, is on the blue drop status. Here you are indicating that internationally you have been recognized as the best quality water tap country. Meanwhile, your blue drop status were questioned, especially when it comes to my province, Limpopo, Eastern Cape. And also in your report here, you indicated that the problems, water problems, are in Limpopo and Eastern Cape. To say, what are you doing about it? In the Water Research Commission study, it estimates that 30% of revenue from water is lost through municipalities, through leaking pipes, illegal connections, and poor billing systems. What are you doing to assist the municipalities so that they can be able to deal with the problems that are there? Because we can't just blame the municipalities to say municipalities are not doing enough. I would also like to know about your relationship with the water boards. Because I was in the Northwest. I visited Butsilo Water Board. The problems that are there, it showed me that you, as the department, there's no relationship between you and the water boards that are in the country. Because the problems that are there should not be there if you were interacting with all water boards. Lastly, you're honestly on the report of Eastern Cape and Limpopo to say there you are honest. But the problem of sanitation and water in schools, the acting DG indicated to us that your budget increased because you were dealing with the problems of sanitation in schools. And meanwhile, in this very report, you indicated that you have stopped building a sanitation infrastructure in schools, and you have diverted it to the Department of Health. So can you please explain to me, because in your report, you say the water and sanitation program for clinics was officially brought to an end during 2007-2008 financial year and handed over to the Department of Health. So can I get clarification? I'll come back for the second bite.
Mrs. Kulana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll just say about two reports. In the report, or the first presentation, whilst it's an honest reflection, I'm worried about this overemphasis on the tough teams. I don't know how many years now that you are in Parliament. This is the what, third or second Parliament, Jefferson? Is it not 13 years? Fourth Parliament. I'm very scared, and I don't want to accept that we are saying until today we are over relying on consultants. But what I'm appreciating is just it's honest report, but I don't take it. I don't accept it because if we are saying that we've got a problem of incapacity, whilst somebody was presenting on the finances saying we do have e-donor funding, and then in the same other pages saying that the money was not used from e-donors. I'm having a problem of why are we having a question of over-reliance on consultants whilst we do have funds or funding that it must look upon the capacity of the department. How much more to the municipalities? Maybe it's answering me why this water problem it is there in the municipality, because most of the time the emphasis is on the capacity of our municipalities. If the main department, the whole pages is talking of ITAS team that they are just now starting to begin to look at the problem of capacity, we're just in crisis. And then in one other page, when the presentation was done, where Uti, is it DG, was saying that boards are doing well. I've just noted and I've written in page 5, it's not true. I'm repeating, seconding the honorable member at my back, saying that I don't know this work which is done, very good work done by these boards. In the last presentation, we were worried, what are they doing? Do we still need them? I'm saying that I wanted to be convinced that the boards are doing well. I wanted to check the launch of women's organization. In South Africa, I'm sure, I don't know what number what in the country that we have 45% in the as women in the government. I would love to know which are those launch we've done of women's organization, and if we can be given fully information, in order that we must try to check in these 9 provinces what have you done after we have launched it. It's nice to launch, what empowerment, what funds are there, because ufundisa umfazi ufundisa isizwe. So maybe this problem of the poverty, if we can know exactly what are you doing about those launches, do you have some funds, and if yes, where did you put those funds? Sometimes you launch some women or whatever, but not giving them the funds. So I'm saying this problem of systems, it can't be right. It can't be right that we're still saying that we've got systems that cannot monitor, cannot tell. That's why even in our legislatures, if the national doesn't have good systems to monitor, to tell the department that you are not going to spend this year, but 13 years down the line, you're still trying to get good systems, it can't be right. And I don't know whether it's you who are not taking this serious. I cannot say minister, but you are the face of the department. It can't be right. So, which means we always have these problems of not delivering to our people who voted us to be here. I'm worried, really. Thank you, Chairperson.
Mr.
Slavman?
Thank you, Chair. I have a number of questions. I'm not sure if future or the presentations that we're going to hear in a few minutes might answer some of them, but obviously that
you
can
be... You know what? Sorry, just one second, Mrs. You know what I thought I was going to do? I was actually getting a sense of the nature of questions so that we make a call as to whether we shouldn't allow further... presentations, because I was also hearing a situation where we're going to be going and coming at the same time. But let's get to hear what you have to say, and then we'll also conclude with this, Mrs. Zigalala.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, in the annual report on page 64, I didn't hear any mention of it in the presentations. It talks about the water allocation reform implementation, and it says specifically that 10% of the budget was utilized. 10% of the budget for assisting resource-poor farmers was utilized. The target was to have at least one resource-poor farmer project implemented in each of the 9 provinces, and in fact, according to this report, a project has been implemented in 4 provinces only and not 9. So, but specifically the 10% utilization of the budget I wanted to question. Chair, if we could just get some clarity on the catchment management agencies. I'm intrigued to read that another 8 have been established in addition to the 2 that we had when we previously were told that the number of catchments were going to be reduced to 9, and we now have 10 catchment management agencies, it seems. But I'm interested in particularly whether the money that is going to the how much money is going to the catchment management agencies, if that figure is available, and what percentage of that is just being used on salaries? Are they actually operational? Is the real question. Chair, Mr. Ayaya spoke about the pricing strategy, the fact that we are not getting in enough money to cover costs. It's a fact. We're not charging in South Africa enough for our water. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we must do an ESCOM on our public. But I do want to understand, Mr. Ayaya made it very clear that this issue would have to be reassessed. And I just want to understand the department's thinking on that. And then I also want to refer to a water board chair, and I would like an answer on this one from whichever official can give an answer. The constituency that I serve is in the Eastern Cape. It includes the Albany Coast Water Board. The officials might well be aware, I've seen Mr. Mkhize's name specifically on some of the emails, that this water board is facing closure, is facing a situation where 25,000 people over Christmas fall, including, by the way, Minister Mkhize, who lives in Kenton-on-Sea and is serviced by that water board, will have no water by the end of the year. Now, emails have been doing the rounds for months, at least 6 months, Chair, asking for assistance, asking for money, desperately so, by members of that water board who are unpaid but who care. The CEO doesn't seem to have been on the scene for a long time, but the fact is that largely those emails, telephone calls, I've made many myself, I've had promises of coming back, we'll come back to you by the end of the day, nothing happens. The money hasn't happened, and we need an answer so that we don't have a community. Largely, that community is indigent. It is the poor that suffer the most and first, but we need answers on that, Chair, please. Thank you.
Chairperson. Firstly, Chairperson, the CFO, Mr. Ayaya, said that one of their challenges in Cobra is because the newly appointed officials need to find their feet. I find this statement really unacceptable. Because I suppose you employ right people for the right job. You cannot just employ someone who doesn't qualify for that particular job. So obviously the moment you are employed, the following day we expect delivery. We cannot really postpone services to our people because someone is still new. Unless if you are employee, you are friends who are not qualified for the job. Secondly, Chair, I've got some few questions. One is the lady here spoke of, no, it's not the lady, the very same Mr. Ayaya, spoke of the legal costs as having increased by plus minus 2%. So I want him to briefly tell us as to what are the major reasons for this. And in doing so, indicate whether was this as a result of some lawsuit against the department or what. thirdly, what are the current and future treatment options for small water treatment plants? The other question would be, in collaboration with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, what collaborative programs has the department developed in addressing the long-term management plans? Another one, the acting DD spoke of consultants. I'm also worried about it. I just want to know from her as to whether is there any person who was an official in the department and after Lily came back as a consultant to do consulting work in the very same section where he or she was employed. If yes, how many are they? And after what period did they came back? How long did they take before they come back as consultants? The last one would be, they spoke of some post-settlement support that they are providing to communities. So I just want to know as to what kind of support that they provide. Is it in the form of skilled personnel or in the form of financial grants? And if it is in the form of grants, what mechanism did you put in place to make sure that these grants are being utilized correctly? The last one, Chairperson, would be, what mechanism have they put in place to make sure that the schemes that they've transferred to municipalities do not deteriorate? Thank you, sir.
Mr. Sigalala, who's in the last one?
Chairperson.
Before we take another round.
I believe every citizen in this country has to drink clean water. It might be a sing-song, because when you ask a question, when it's not answered, you always go back until you are answered. So I'm a bit worried, because when it comes to rural areas, we still have areas whereby people are drinking water that is not purified. And I've been singing this song about the Eastern Cape. I did mention some of the areas whereby I happen to visit all the time. One of them is Chrisani and Ngobo. Those people, the infrastructure is there, the pipes are there, the taps are there, but they're not functioning. They are still fetching water from the river, water that is not clean. And I pity the poor women who have to draw the water from those rivers using those spark bug or whatever you call them, climbing those valleys and mountains. They are still there. And today I would gladly, from the DG, wants to know what is happening. Is there any improvement? My special Engobo, because I was there, I saw myself, the infrastructure is there, but it's not functioning. Dams. I want to congratulate the department, really, because I've seen with my naked eye that in Yaka Dam something is happening. The pipes. That's wonderful, because I was trying to follow that one too. But now, Josini Dam, is it servicing the people of Umkhanyakude or the other, you know, somewhere. Because the aim, those people from Umkhanyagudwe, they want the Josini Dam to service them. I heard from this finance performance, whatever, one of the slides, 17, that they are, well, my question is, what happens to municipalities not reporting on funds transferred on them in time? Because something has to happen just to stop them, not continue with that practice. I thank you, Chair.
Members, I am tempted quite strongly that we take the other reports or the other presentation. I'm fearing a situation where we're going to be coming and going at the same time. And however, the questions have been noted, and it would also be quite prudent on ourselves as we move forward with our presentation that if we can, let's try our level best, that we also touch on some of the questions by way of responses. I take that would be acceptable, members, because that's the aim, as it were, as to why we are asking those questions. We want answers. But what I would want us to do at this juncture, you know, this parliament, Hoshi, you know, feeds us all the time. That's why some of us, when we come here, you know, we weigh 80, and by the time it is almost, you know, term over, we're 90. Let's quickly run out and grab that tea and not take more than 10 minutes. There's tea, there's water, there's juice, there's coffee. Just to stretch and come back. Time now is almost 11:30. We'll be back here by 11:40. Thank you.